Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Amen. Come on, let's give him some praise, people. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, he rose from the grave. He's alive. Death, where is your sting? He's alive, people. He's alive. He's alive. Muhammad is still in the grave. Russell Smith is still in the grave. Joseph Smith is still in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. But our King is not in the grave. He's alive. He's alive. And what a weekend. I get really overwhelmed in this weekend. I'm so grateful for him. On so many levels. Friday on that cross, his last words, it is finished. The old way of us having a relationship with God is over. The old way, the religious way, he said it's done. Where only one priest would have the privilege and honor to go into this holy place. None of us could have gone. Only one. And he went behind this curtain, they reckon 45 to 60 feet tall, 25 feet wide, made of animal skin, as thick as a man's hand, impossible to rip. And it just didn't drop, it ripped in half. So it could never go back up again. And what that signified is that all of us can now walk into the presence of God, stand with the presence of God, be in relationship with Him. And not about any religious act, it's nothing that you can do. By that one act alone, we are now in pure joy relationship with the Father. And then 3 days later, He rose. He rose from that thing. And you and I, why I'm so overwhelmed is, for me, I know that I don't die. I will never die. I may die here on this earth, but I will live in eternity forever. Because He defeated the devil, the death. The sting is over. I have nothing to fear. And today, if you don't know Jesus, there's nothing that you can do, and you don't need to change anything to be accepted by Him. Nothing. He accepts you as you are. And wherever you are, I don't know where you are, but He does. He does. And if you're here today and you don't know Him, I just want you to know that this day is all about you. Today we're celebrating resurrection power. We're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And I'm all about resurrection power. I've seen God's power. I've seen God's power manifest in many different ways. I've seen a young boy be raised back to life, dead for over 7 minutes. They say oxygen to the brain after 6 minutes, you have no oxygen, you are stuffed. That boy is 100% walking around in school, having friends. I've seen cancer be healed. I've seen Parkinson's disease be healed. But we're not here to talk about that today and see that. You see, resurrection power is not something that He did. It's who He is. And He brings dead things back to life. Hallelujah, all right, my sister. He brings dead things back to life. There may be relationships. There may be things that have taken things away from you. Maybe it's an addiction. I'm telling you, 20 years ago, I was in a hotel room kidnapped by gang members. I'd been a meth addict, a crystal meth addict for 7 years, a drug addict for 14 years. I had a $250 to $500 drug habit a day. And I got kidnapped by gang members, and I called out to a God that I did not know in that moment. And He heard my cry. And He has brought many things that were dead in my life back to life. Families restored. 143, I think it is, friends and family have come to know Jesus. And if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. Because the God that died over 2,000 years ago, He's alive and He's here. And He won't force Himself on you though. But today I want to unpack to you the reality and the fact of this dude, Jesus, was a real person. And He walked this planet. And this is, I don't want to bring condemnation over you. Today I pray that conviction comes to your heart. Because we cannot deny the fact that this guy, Jesus, walked this planet. It's fact. And so today I want to focus on people here today that don't know Jesus. Hopefully we can unpack and you can realize, really, my goodness, this really is real. It is so real, like it's tangible real. Some people say to me, Trent, how do you believe in something that you don't see? Well, I say to them, just because can't see something doesn't mean it's not real. You'll believe the wind's real. You don't see it, but you see the effects of it. Magnetic force. You don't see it, but you see the effects of it. And we see the effects of a living God today. All around the world, where billions of people today are declaring that He is King and He is alive. And friend, we're going to believe that this is your day as well. Can I get an amen to that? So turn to the person next to you, slap them, say your praise and worship was good. So good. So good to be here in this house. To be invited back. It's always good to get invited back. Sometimes you preach and you leave going, man, hopefully that went okay. But if you get invited back, it's a good sign. But it's good to be in the house with wonderful friends, heroes. I've got my barber here. I went and got a haircut yesterday in Manly. And Lewis here. Stand up, Lewis. Wave to him. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Wave. I was telling him about Jesus. And then I said, you're coming to church tomorrow? No, I'm going camping. I said, oh, yeah. I'm going to pray that the weather's bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he texts me this morning, the weather's bad. I'm coming to church. He's got his friends with him as well. Amen. So good. It's good. Yeah, and for all those people that are new here today, this is like really crazy. I remember when I came to church, I thought, man, these people are smoking weed and some of you still are probably, and that's okay. Well, not really, but anyway. Talk to God about that. But we are so passionate because we realize that He's real. And what He did is the greatest thing ever. Ever in this world, and greatest thing that'll ever happen to you is this. And as I said, resurrection isn't something that He did. It is who He is. And today we're going to look at a lot of things. We're going to look at facts. We're going to look at probabilities. We're going to look at other ways that people choose. And we're going to look at a real life encounter. And hopefully for you today, if you don't know Him, you can realize that He's really real. See, in John 11, 25, if you have your Bibles, and the guys will bring it up. This is Jesus himself saying these words. I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Love that scripture. I love it. I love the idea that dead things are coming back to life, people. Dead dreams, dead hope, dead relationship. But here's the question. What if resurrection just isn't a concept, but what if it's actually a person? You see, Christianity doesn't begin with philosophy. It begins with this great event. Not to be a good person, not try harder. It begins with this one claim. A man named Jesus Christ of Nazareth died. We celebrated that on Friday. And you could sit here today and go, how can you celebrate that? We call it the good news. It is good news for us that that happened. Because there is bad news for you and I. Bad news while we're here on earth, and bad news when you and I die. But there is good news that we can choose. A man named Jesus died, and 3 days later he walked out of a grave. That's either the greatest lie ever told or the most important truth in human history. There is no middle ground. If the resurrection didn't happen, Christianity completely falls apart. But if it did happen, everything changes. Everything. So let's look at some facts, some history. Even outside the Bible, it's not even, think about that right now. Historians, great historians, wrote about Jesus, and they had no reason to write about that Jesus was real or about his resurrection. Cornelius, Tacitus, Josephus, go and read about all of these men that wrote exactly about this dude named Jesus that performed all these miracles, and they all wrote that he was not found in the grave. They all agree on a few things. He existed, he was crucified, his tomb was found empty. His followers generally believe they saw him alive again. So much so that nearly all of them died for that fact. They died for their belief. They died for what they saw. People don't die for what they know is a lie. And then the Bible goes on and records it very clearly. In 1 Corinthians 15, go and read it. It says he appeared to over 500 people. 500 people, and not just saw him, touched him, ate with him. He was not a ghost. I mean, that's not like one person having a bit of a hallucination, taking a bit of LSD on the wrong day kind of thing. 500 people is a whole crowd. A whole crowd. They witnessed him. They saw him. The disciples. Nearly all of them died for that one belief and what they saw. And then we think about the prophecies. What is a prophecy if you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about? Prophecy is when God reveals his message or his truth to a person to speak to others, sometimes about the future, but often about his heart and his will. This is where this gets really powerful. Jesus didn't randomly just show up, people. Hundreds of years before he was born, it was written about what had happened. Go and read Isaiah 53, and it describes his suffering, his rejection, his death, and that he would somehow still live again. But check this out. In the Old Testament, there's over 300 prophecies about Jesus. And check this out. He fulfilled every single one of them. Now that may just sound cool. Go on, that's a cool, cool story, bro. A Harvard University professor read that and thought that was really interesting. So he gathered his students and said, let's, they're all like mathematician freaky looking dudes or guys, you know. And he said, let's look at the probability of that happening. Now he said, let's not look at the whole 300. Let's look at the big eight. They call them the big eight, these big eight, and I'll read them out to you. These are like so specific about Jesus. One, born in Bethlehem. It's in the book of Micah and then fulfilled in the Gospel of Matthew. A forerunner prepares the way. You read that in the book of Malachi, and we read that fulfilled by John the Baptist. The third one, he enters Jerusalem as a king on a donkey. That's in the book of Zechariah, fulfilled in the Gospel of Matthew. Betrayed by a friend. Read that in the book of Psalms and fulfilled by Judas. Betrayed, again, number five, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Read that in the book of Zechariah, fulfilled in the Gospel of Matthew. Number six, money thrown in the temple and used to buy a potter's field. Prophesied in Zechariah, fulfilled in the Gospel of Matthew. Yeah. Remain silent before accusers. Read that in the book of Isaiah, fulfilled in the Gospel of Matthew. Executed by crucifixion. Hands and feet pierced. Read that in the book of Psalms and fulfilled in the Gospel of John. Some of these 700 years before it happened. That's like some dude 700 years ago saying, some dude that's going to look like Jesus, his last name will be Lee, he will marry this amazing girl, she's way better preaching than him, and they will lead a church in Sydney Northern Beaches. So he was like, let's not look at the probability of the 300. What's the probability of one of just the eight being fulfilled? And they did their little genius, little, you know, little calculator, those scientific-y ones. What were those things, eh? Those are weird. Has anyone used one of those ever again after school? Has anyone done algebra after leaving school? Anyway, this is the probability of one of these eight prophecies actually happening. You ready for this? This is the number. One in. I think the number is called sixtillion. The chances of one in eight of these prophecies actually being spoken about and coming to pass, just one, but all 300 were fulfilled. I'm just speaking to the mathematicians in the house and the guy, those guys, you know? Still with me? Jesus didn't just fit the story. He fulfilled a script written centuries before he arrived. And then let's talk about the intellectual people some more. Sometimes people think faith is just for people who don't think. Well, why don't you try and tell that to Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, Nikolai Tesla, probably the greatest mind that ever lived. These weren't unintelligent people. They studied the universe and many came to the conclusion there must be something more. 17th of the world's top 20 scientists today are Christian. 9 of them went to prove through science that God is not real, and they're following Jesus now. The more they discovered about creation, the harder it became to deny a creator. And then let's look at other religions and other ways that many people today follow. Every other belief system says some version of do more, try harder, be better, earn your way. But Christianity is completely different. It says you could never reach God, so God came to you. It says you could never reach God, so God came to you. Other religions say, work your way up. Jesus say, no, I'll come down. Religion is humanity reaching for God. Christianity is God reaching for humanity. And then, lo and behold, if you didn't know, well, now you know, our entire timeline is built around Jesus. We literally split history in two. BC, before Christ, and AD for me, after drugs. My life before Christ and after drugs. Where people believe him or not, they still use him to measure time. So here's the real question. What do you do with Jesus? Not religion, not church. Jesus. Because if he really rose from the dead, and he's not just a good man, he's not just a teacher, he is who he says he is. He's alive, people. And if he's alive, resurrection isn't just something he did back then. It's something he is still doing today. Can I get an amen? Dead hope, dead purpose, dead lives. He brings them back to life. For 7 years, I took methamphetamine. 7 years prior to that, taking all the other stuff. Trying to deal with the pain of, like my brother Peter here this morning, of my father leaving my mother and not having a father and all sorts of trauma. And I found out later, because I had to go to rehab, that really I was using all of this stuff to deal with the pain of my past. And really, for me, sin's not really the problem. Really got to get to the core issue is why. The problem wasn't that Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Anyone else going to give Adam a punch in the face when you get to heaven? But let's be honest, if it wasn't them, it'd be the next guy. And if it wasn't me, the next guy, it'd be you and I. The problem wasn't that they ate the fruit. The problem is that they got in conversation with the snake, which led them. And I didn't do all this stuff because I liked taking drugs, maybe at the start, but it's because I was running from my reality and running from my trauma and pain. And I ran with one of New Zealand's most notorious motorcycle clubs, manufactured methamphetamine on a large scale, ran with the biggest and the baddest in New Zealand. Then I saw for what the gang world was all about. It's all a have, it's all a show. It's all rubbish. And so I had a light bulb moment that in my last year of using, I became a real monster. And I was literally using to die. I mean, I was out of my mind. Like, I was out of my mind. Like, we went from earning $100,000 a week to having all the cars, the motorbikes, everything, you know, that the world says once you have, you'll find joy and happiness. No, none of that fun. None of us would be here today if all that stuff was bringing us happiness, true happiness. But in our last year, we got in the grips of poverty. And when I talk about us, I'm talking about my wife, Jade. We had a baby together and we're in the grips of poverty, but my addiction was just getting more and more out of control. But I got to the point where I was losing my mind. One morning, about 3 a.m., Jade found me in our hallway, in our house. We had just had our baby. Jade had enough of me and our lifestyle And she walked out and she found me at 3 a.m. in the morning in our hallway with rock climbing gear on. And a friend of mine had stolen a car and they had rock climbing gear in it. So I said, I'll have the rock climbing gear. I've never rock climbed in my life. I still haven't rock climbed in my life. But I just thought it was amazing. And so I swapped them crystal meth for the rock climbing gear. And here's the photo of me. Yeah, funny, even though it's pretty bad, but when I look at that photo, got my whole family addicted to crystal meth. People no longer able to do things in their life because I physically scarred them. I was so covered in shame, guilt. And then about 4 months after that is when I got kidnapped. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I should be dead. These guys did horrible things to me and to the people that were in the room with me. No one had ever preached the gospel to me. 26 years old, never been to church service. No one ever told me about the love of the Father, like I was telling Lewis yesterday in the barbershop. No one. But for some reason, out of my deep desperation, thinking I was going to die, I called out to a God that I did not know. And I said these words to him, God, if you're real, help me. If you help me, I'll help you. Now, that's a really interesting thing to say to God. But God heard my prayer that day. And I made it into a drug rehabilitation program. Came out of the program. My wife started going back to church, Jay, because she grew up in church. She stopped using. And then she blackmailed me into doing an alpha course. And I did an alpha course, didn't want to be there. But on the last week of the alpha course, I had an encounter with the living God. The living God. And he came to me and he said to me, son, do you remember what you said to me? Do you remember what you said to me? You said to me, if I helped you, you would help me. I am he. And I ran to him. And I've laid my life down for him. And I came into church weeks later. And I ran to the altar, I think 6 weeks in a row, when the pastor said, does anyone going to give their heart to Jesus? And I kept running every single week. And I'm so thankful for an old guy, Barry, in the church that came up to me and said, Trent, you're saved, bro. You don't need to keep doing that. If you see people doing that in church, go and do the same thing. But I was so desperate and so thankful. And then one day, I realized everything was new to me. Everything. The day that I called out to God and I made him my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized and I was filled with the Spirit, I was new. And I realized that day that I called out to God in that kidnapping, that was the last time I'd ever touched drugs before. I celebrate this year 20 years clean, sober. Born again. It's a crazy, crazy line in Christianity. Born again. How the heck do you get born again? But I was born again. It was different. Everything was different. Dead things in my life started coming back. All of my family, meth addicts, no longer meth addicts, saved, running for Jesus. People that I nearly killed started coming to church. A guy that I held a knife to his throat in broad daylight, that I took all his belongings off him. I led him to Jesus, and now I'm the godfather of his children. And I was born again. And this is who he is. It's not something he did, it's who he is. And if you're here today, and maybe everything on the outside is looking good, great, but on the inside it's not. And you know there's something else. It may not be right now, but let me tell you, we all get to this very moment. One of the privileges and honor of my job is to sit with people on their deathbed. And if they haven't done it like you right now, they do it at that very moment. There's been something else I've missed. If you're here today, you can have this thing, this resurrection power, this thing of being born again. Being born again is when your spirit now comes alive to God. Every person here is born physically, but spiritually you are disconnected from God. You can be successful, strong, doing well on the outside and still feel something missing on the inside. Why? Because your spirit was made to be connected to God. John 3:3 says this, Jesus himself saying these words, I tell you the truth. God himself just needed to hit that home. This is truth, that nobody will see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. This is why I love getting in Ubers, hoping that it's Muslims. I love that, because I go to them on the scripture. Bro, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. And then John 3:3, they believe he's a prophet. A prophet that they still believe is alive and is coming back to save humanity. Can't work that out. But that's what I stumped them on, because a prophet can't lie. So when I read them these scriptures, was Jesus lying? He cannot lie, brother. Well, that means he's telling the truth, bro. Stumps them. Pay for my Uber. Have a great life, brother. So what happens when you're born again, like all of these people are here in this auditorium? Your spirit comes alive to God. Your past is forgiven. Your identity is made new. And God's own spirit comes to live in you. It's not self-improvement. It's spiritual resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now raises you on the inside. You were spiritually dead, and today you can come alive. That's why Jesus didn't say, try harder, be better. He said, you must be born again, because dead things don't need improving. They need resurrection. Being born again simply means this. God gives you a brand new life on the inside. You're not just changed. You're made new. You're not just living anymore. You're truly alive. And if you're here today and you've never been born again, like I said, you don't need to change anything to be accepted by him. He's done it all already. Facts, people. He's real. But he will not force himself on you. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? We call it the good news. Because there's bad news. We don't need to talk about the spiritual stuff. Psychics, mediums, witches, warlocks, they're real. I've dealt with them. I've had witches and warlocks turn up to my meetings. Talk to them about their spells and talk to me about all their stuff that they do. It's real. But you will die one day. And there's good news or there's bad news. And you can receive the good news today.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.